Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Hey, I'm trying to get crumb.
I don't know what's going on, Blog Talk Radio family, friends out there. It's been a crazy, crazy scenario. But anyway, if you guys are out there listening right now, we are getting ready to get started. I'm going to try to get Rob on the line. We had some fun topics to discuss. Maybe the site Blog Talk Radio is experiencing some holiday whatever, but what can you do? We'll have some fun. If I get Rob on, that's fine. If not, we will just keep it moving. But for those who don't know, I am Andre Peterson, Rob Ford's mother host. It is a fantabulous Christmas Eve. Today is December the 24th, and obviously you are talking sports with the 12th man. I guess initially we kind of wanted to talk about a couple of different things here. If you didn't know, now you know what we were planning on talking about with some scenarios for the playoffs, for the NFL. The NFL's top five teams, talking about who's more responsible for New England's success. Was it Brady or Belichick? Some playoff predictions here, and also going into the next week, the final week of the NFL. Some fantasy shout-outs, some bowl predictions. And we're going to talk about kind of what's going on with the Knicks, specifically with Carmelo Anthony. And we're going to talk about the top five teams in the NBA. So that's what's on the docket, as always. If the show is even working, but it's all good. But once again, the number to call to the show, it's 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. We invite you to call in, give us your thoughts, all that good jazz. And let's go ahead and jump right in. I guess I want to talk about some playoff scenarios. And just to kind of fill you in, there's a couple teams that have already clinched. We'll talk about that. There's some teams that that have some scenarios they're going to play in. And let's kind of talk about some teams that have already clinched. First and foremost, right now for the AFC, these are teams that have already clinched. These are the teams that are locked, voted for the AFC. First and foremost, we have the – this is no surprise. We have the Denver Broncos. They have clinched the AFC West. And they have secured a first-round bye. Now, there's a couple things that they need to do for some home field advantage. And some home field stuff we'll talk about in a quick second. And I'm going to welcome in Rob to be able to join into the call, sir.
Well, yes.
Appreciate that, sir, man. I know Blog Talk is having a holiday. I don't know. It's just a lot of difficulties, too. But we are officially on. Rob already gave the intro, some show topics, and we're jumping right into – some of the playoff scenarios, if that's okay. But I know real quick you want to talk about a pretty big injury that's been happening with Tony Romo possibly going down. And I guess Kyle Orton has been named the starter. And I guess the question that we had is we're going to jump right into this. And I guess can the Cowboys beat the Eagles with Kyle Orton as the starter, sir?
I'm going to say no. I don't think in a game of this magnitude you can call on upon a guy. I think you need a couple of warm-up games before you can expect the guy to come in and win a game like this. I think it's for the division. More than likely it's for the number three seed in the NFC. And even though the Cowboys at home, I think I expect the Eagles to win this game. Right now, the Eagles' offense right now is clicking on all cylinders. And the Cowboys' defense has been atrocious most of the season. So even with, you know, a healthy Tony Romo, I thought it was going to be tough for them to win. I think it's going to get even tougher. I see the Eagles going on the road and win this game.
Wow, pretty interesting. I'm going to go in a different direction. I think because of the fact that Tony Romo's not there, I'm not saying he's the whole problem, but I definitely think it's going to play into the Cowboys' favor. So like I said, I know the Eagles have been playing on fire. I think Romo's been the scapegoat for a lot of things. Kyle Orton's been a pretty capable starter. He may have he may need some time under his belt, but I think it's going to go the opposite direction, man. So, you know, and I'm not a Cowboys fan by any means, but I'm just kind of curious that maybe there's not a lot of pressure on the Cowboys now that Tony Romo is out. But anyway, we'll see how that plays out, too. Once again, I'll throw out some numbers now that Rob is on the line. I didn't get a chance to do our traditional how everyone's doing tonight, but we're going to jump right in because we've got about 20 minutes, so we'll have some time to check in with Rob on this thing, on this Christmas Eve talking sports for the 12th man. But real quick, Rob, let's set the stage here. There are a couple of scenarios for the playoffs, and I already talked about who just clinched the AFC, or we're talking about who's in the AFC right now. We talked about Denver, the Broncos. They've obviously clinched the AFC West, and they have a first-round bye. There's a couple of teams we're going to talk about different scenarios. New England has clinched the AFC West. The Indianapolis Colts have clinched the AFC South, and, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs have actually clinched the playoff spot. But there are different scenarios that are going into certain things as far as there's a couple teams kind of on the outside looking in, Rob. I don't know if you want to kind of talk about some scenarios with that or anything you want to highlight as far as with the AFC, sir.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's so many variables still that, you know, teams still have a lot to play for. I think the Kansas City Chiefs may be the only team that's pretty much locked into their current playoff position. They're the number five seed in the AFC. Whether they win or lose this weekend, they're going to be the number five seed in the AFC. And so, I mean, I think if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, you can be smart this weekend. Whether you win or lose, your playoff positioning is not going to change one bit. So you can be, you know, smart with your personnel, keeping guys healthy, maybe not play some key guys and things of that nature. Everybody else is still playing for something this weekend. And if we're going to start with the AFC, the Denver Broncos, of course, they have to win to secure that number one seed, or they have to count on a New England loss to secure that number one seed. So they still have something to play for this weekend, obviously. And New England, of course, you know, if they win and Denver lose, then New England moves up to number one. So, I mean, they obviously still have something to play for this weekend. And then when you look at that number three seed in the AFC, which is right now, the Indianapolis Colts. The Bengals have an opportunity to move up to number two if New England loses and Cincinnati wins. So Cincinnati still has something to play for. And the same thing with the Colts. The Colts still, they're number four seed, but they can still move up to number two with the Bengals and Patriots loss as with the, and with them winning. And so, like I said, the Kansas City Chiefs are the only team that's locked into their current position. And then for that final number six seed in the AFC, man, I don't even know if we should even discuss that. There's still four teams that are still playing for that last position. You're looking at the Dolphins, looking at the Ravens,
and
you're looking
and
at the Chargers and the Steelers. So with the Dolphins having the best chance of securing that last shot with a win, but even with a win, they'll still need a little help. And so, I mean I don't think we have to go over all those scenarios, but those four teams are still in play for that number, that last playoff spot in the AFC. And you move over to the NFC, and once again, there's no secure playoff position. Seattle right now is the number one seed. They win, they're the number one seed. There's no doubt about that. If they lose and San Francisco wins, then San Francisco will move up to the number one seed in the NFC. right now Carolina is holding on a number two seed in the NFC. But if Carolina loses and the Saints win this weekend, then the Saints will move back to the number two seed. So we're going to be rooting for those Atlanta Falcons. You think y'all can do us a favor this weekend?
I'm going to have to say no, man. I'm not going to lie to you, man. So, you know, oh, I don't think it's going to happen.
Come on, man. Where's the confidence?
you know, we played the 49ers well. You talk about giving gifts to the game, but that's a whole other conversation altogether. But we'll see for sure. But keep moving, sir, with the playoff scenario,
well,
sir.
If Atlanta gonna play like they did last night, I think they got a good chance of beating Carolina. So hopefully the Falcons will bring it. We're gonna be Falcon fans this weekend. But
oh,
moving
God.
Right along here, the number three seed right now is the Philadelphia Eagles. They win, they hold on to that seed. If they lose, the Cowboys, the Cowboys will move up to that slot. And the number four seed is held down by the Chicago Bears and their atrocious defense right now. And they win, they hold on to that number four seed. They lose to the Packers, and the Packers will move up to the number four seed. So they're playing for that's pretty interesting how they kind of shaped out for those two divisions, winner take all to get into the playoffs. Right now, the number five seed is the 49ers, we already talked about. If they win and the Seahawks lose, they will move up to the number one spot. But right now, they're holding on a five spot. And the Saints are holding on a sixth spot. And we already talked about the Saints and the Panthers and their situation for that number two seed. And then we still have some teams that's in the running. Arizona will have to win and hope for a Saints loss in order to get into the playoffs. And so we already talked about the Packers and the Cowboys' chances of getting in. So, yeah, so there's nine teams still in play in each conference for these six spots. Obviously, five playoff spots have been secured in the AFC already, but the seeding is not secure yet. So still a lot to play for. Like I said, the Chiefs are the only team, whether they win or lose, it's going to be locked into their current position. So it's not a whole lot to play for them in the AFC.
Man, what a good job as far as explaining all those scenarios, Rob. I know there's a couple teams I do want to highlight as far as Chicago Bears. They can actually clinch the NFC North if they win or tie. And the Packers are actually still on the outside looking. If they actually get a win, they can actually clinch the NFC North. So there's still some teams out there, like you talked about, that are in certain scenarios as far as the playoffs. So I'm sure if you're in the NFL, you are ecstatic about this, Rob, because you're probably thinking, man, this is kind of more than what we anticipated. But, that's why the NFL is definitely king. And we're going to keep an eye on as far as all those particular scenarios. So right now, I guess if you could say who are the top five teams in the NFL, Rob, obviously I know going into – I'd still say the Broncos and the Seahawks are probably one and two. But what else do you think that you have wrapping up at the top five, sir?
Well, I think you hit it right there. I have the Broncos – holding on a number one spot. Offensively, they still can be very scary, can score at any time. Number two, even with the loss to Arizona, you still have to think Seattle and that defense is playing tremendous football. I think still probably have overall the best defense in the league. And so I think they're going to be a tough out. I have them holding down the number two position. The number three position, I have the Carolina Panthers. Big come from behind win on last second play against the Saints. And I have the Carolina Panthers, and their defense is very sound as well. I have them holding on to three spot. Number four, I have the New England Patriots. Probably played the best game of the season this past week against the Ravens. With an impressive 41-7 win on the road at Baltimore. You had to be impressed with that. And the 49ers, this is a team you got to be careful about come playoff time. They're playing some, good ball at a good time right now. And I have them holding out a number five spot.
Good job. And like you said, if you've been keeping track of us, obviously the team has been playing well during the end of the season. They are the ones that you have to definitely watch out for because they're trying to make that comeback, Rob. The last world champions have seemed to come back and played well the last couple weeks of the season, too. So, we talk about we're kind of getting ready on Christmas Eve. some teams have been giving them a lot of gifts, and they've played extremely well. So a lot of love, and it's going to be a very exciting playoff run for sure, Rob. So let's keep moving here. Once again, I'm going to call out the numbers. Once again, if you want to call on the show, give us your thoughts, even though we have some technical difficulties. We appreciate everyone listening to us. The number to call is 424-243-9519. We're also on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And also, if you try to find us on Facebook, we have a Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/12thmansports or put in Talking Sports the 12th Man. You can find us in that aspect as well. Rob, we're going to keep moving, sir. I want to talk about some teams. You mentioned the impressive play of the New England Patriots. And I want to ask you, who do you think is more responsible for the New England success? Is it Tom Brady, the quarterback, or is it a Bill Belichick calling the shots? I'll let you have the first crack at this one, sir, and I'll definitely share my thoughts as well.
I'm going to say they obviously are both responsible, but I'm going to think the person who has – most responsible for their success over the years. Excuse me, world, for yawning while we're doing the middle of a radio show here. I'm going to say Bill Belichick is still most responsible. And I'm going to go back a few years ago when Tom Brady had a season-ending injury in the week one of the season, and most people thought that the Patriots were going to have a rough year. They went 11-5 that year, and they were the Dolphins wound up winning the division that year with the same record over, you know, a tiebreaker. But they went 11-5 with Matt Castle at the quarterback position. And so I'm going to say Belichick just for the simple reason. I think he's got great management skills. You know, he's a little quirky in his press conferences. You can tell he don't want to do them. But I think when it comes to managing and coaching up a football team and dealing with men, I think he does a tremendous job. And I think when you still rate coaches in the NFL, at least in my book, I still put him at the number one position. So I'm going to say he's still most responsible. Even when you look at this team right now they have, I mean, no Gronkowski. And Brady deserves some of that credit too. But this team doesn't have a lot of weapons on offense. And they're still, you know, they're still winning ball games. And they're winning with a young defense this year too.
Yeah, you know, you hit the nail right on the head, Rob. And that's something I was going to say. I was going to use that exact same example when it comes to the Patriots. And Bill Belichick is definitely a great coach that keeps that that momentum going. Obviously, you know, you have to have a great quarterback, the Tom Brady's of the world. But as you mentioned, whenever Tom Brady went down, it seems like they had Matt Castle, and they were able to keep it moving too. And obviously that is parlayed into Matt Castle getting bigger contracts. And as you mentioned, he's not the same under a different coaching staff besides Bill Belichick. Also, I'm going to show a lot of love. If you didn't know, America, I am actually in California. And so I had a chance to hear a lot of stuff about San Francisco and the 49ers and that great legacy that was being built. If I can parlay it to a similar team with Bill Walsh. And their Candlestick is actually, it was their last game. They're going to tear it down. They're going to have a new stadium in a different part of the California in Santa Clara. And just kind of the same scenario. Whenever you have a great coach like a Bill Walsh that has definitely had a huge impact on the game, those coaches seem to kind of elevate certain players and make players play better. Now, you have to have players to play the game, but if you have a great coaching staff, they're able to do things that are able to take that team to the next level too. So, you know, obviously Bill Walsh was the engine. He gets different players to kind of you know, definitely feed into that. Whenever Joe Montana was kind of on his last, like he brought in Steve Young, he was able to keep that moving. The Jerry Rice, the Dwight Clarks, you know, Roger Craves. There's so many different players that came in and actually were able to play into that system. So I definitely think more coaching in this instance is going to help that team definitely elevate them to the next level. I'm sure, I don't know if you can wrap that up with that last thought, Rob, as well.
Well, I think that was very well said. And I think, you know, there's a lot of great events that's taking place in that stadium, from football as well as Giants baseball. And so definitely a historical moment and event there in San Francisco last night. One of my favorite cities to visit, of course. And that's definitely tremendous. And we'll see what happens here in San Francisco. Building a new state-of-the-art stadium there in the Bay Area.
Yes, sir. We've got about 4.5 minutes left of the show. Let's kind of give you some predictions. First and foremost, I know everyone is excited to hear about these. Let's talk about Baltimore at Cincinnati. Obviously, this game is definitely for playoff implications, as we talked about earlier. We're not going to talk too much as far as a lot of the scenarios, but this is a pretty big win, a pretty big game, Rob, for this. Obviously, if they win and New England loses, this is a pretty good opportunity for them. You know, so what do you think about this? Baltimore's been playing well. Who do you think is going to pull this one out?
Yeah, I think with the way New England just beat Baltimore, I think it's going to be tough for them to respond from that game. I like Cincinnati at home in this one. And Cincinnati is one of those teams could be Super Bowl contenders one week, and some weeks they can, you know, a few times this year. I'm not going to say a lot where they, you know, had some disappointments. But I expect them to win this game at home. They're the better team. They have more talent than Baltimore. And I like Cincinnati at home.
Big, big game for the 49ers, who obviously had the Monday night game. They are going at Arizona. Arizona, Rob, you talk about a surprising team, beat Seattle in Seattle. We didn't think that could be done. What do you think happens in this scenario? Because I know the Falcons came in, they kind of put a scare to the 49ers. You know, good play. But what do you think happens now? Do you think they're going to get kind of focused for the Cardinals?
Well, I think they better because this Cardinals team is really good. I think Todd Bowles, defense coordinator of Arizona, has done one of the best coaching jobs this year. Arizona has one of the best defenses in the league, quietly. Nobody's talking about them. And they're one of the hottest teams in the NFL right now. So if you're the New Orleans Saints, you have to win this Sunday because I expect Arizona to beat San Francisco at home. And like I said, Arizona, Todd Bowles has done a tremendous job as defense coordinator for Arizona this year. And, of course, you have to give some credit to Bruce Arians, the head coach. I mean, they went into Seattle and won on the road. Carson Palmer threw like four interceptions, and they still managed to win that game, mainly because of how well their defense played. Even in, you know, short field situations, they were able to hold the Seahawks. Tremendous job, and like I said, they've been playing tremendous football. And even prior to this past week, Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald have really gotten in sync. And so this is a scary football team. I like them to beat San Fran.
You like the Cardinals to beat the 49ers. Wow, I'm in San Francisco right now. I'm not that bold just yet to make that prediction in this time, but we'll talk about some other predictions. We've got about 2 minutes, Rob. We're not gonna go that deep into the OT portion. You want to kind of set it up as we get ready to talk about the OT. We got about a minute and a half, so I think we'll set it up, sir, as we get ready to wrap up talking sports with the 12th man.
Yeah, we certainly appreciate you all tuning in. We apologize again for the inconvenience and changes to our schedules and the technical difficulties. Just real quick, just fantasy shout-outs. We ended our two fantasy football leagues. And shout-out in our fantasy football league number one, Bulldogs. Aaron Bates up in the Connecticut area won our first fantasy football league. Gave me a pretty good whipping in the championship game. And then also the Crazy Crew, Wayne, he won our second fantasy football league in the Atlanta area. So he is a fantasy football champion for that league. We certainly appreciate everyone competing with us. And we still have fantasy basketball going forward, which I'm holding down the first place spot, so hopefully I'll keep it going. And but, yes, next week, we're going to take a week off next week, and we're going to return right after the new year and get ready for a great year of talking sports with the 12th man. We certainly appreciate all of our listeners throughout this year as we move into a great year of 2014. Good night, people.
You have said that very, very eloquently as always, Rob. And as mentioned, a lot of love, a lot of shout-outs to our fantasy winners. Next year, I promise, guys, we're going to come, we're going to bring it, man. So we're going to have those two leagues, too. I expect neither one of us, either Rob or myself, to kind of take that down, too. So that's a friendly shot, as always, but stay tuned for the OT portion. Obviously, it's not live. You can listen to it whenever you're on your way home in the archive portion. That's what we're going to do. So we'll talk to you guys soon. It's not going to be a long portion, probably about 2 minutes or so. Thank you, guys. Good night, people. And we are officially into the OT portion. And as mentioned, Rob, we're not going to talk too long because I know it's been a long night, and I appreciate you hanging on there, but especially for this Christmas Eve, too. But real quick, let's wrap up some predictions. Let's talk about some NBA, and we'll kind of wrap it up with some bowl predictions. But Kansas City at San Diego, real quick. I think you mentioned this, that Kansas City is the only team right now that has a pretty secure playoff position, so I don't think they're going to try that hard. I think they're going to rest some starters. I think that San Diego has more to play for. They're going to try to win this game. I think they will pull us out in this particular matchup, sir.
I totally agree with you. And I think, you know, Andy Reid's going to be smart, getting ready for the playoffs here. I like the Chargers. They got a lot to play for. And they're another team that's quietly been playing well the last few weeks, too.
And I like it. This is a big one. Philadelphia at Dallas. I know earlier we talked about this. You said that we're kind of on the opposite end. You said that Philadelphia's going to pull it out because they've been playing on fire, which they have. They pretty much blitzed the Bears, even though the Bears' defense is not that great. You know, obviously a lot of things went on with Dallas. Dallas has lost Tony Romo. I know he became the scapegoat. I do like the fact that Kyle Warren is not a total rookie in this instance. Maybe the situation may bear a little bit differently in that not a lot of pressure on the Cowboys with Kyle versus Tony, even though that defense is not that great as well. So I know you kind of leaning towards the Eagles without a problem or without a doubt in this particular matchup.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm still, you know, we kind of gave our thoughts about this game earlier, but I definitely firmly think that the Eagles would just be too explosive for the Cowboys in this game.
All right, I'm going to give you some options here. We can either go with bowl predictions, what's been going on, or you're going to talk about some NBA. I'm going to kind of leave it in your hands as we get ready to wrap it up, sir.
Well, we can, you know, it doesn't matter to me. We can cover them both, or we can cover them one, however you feel.
Let's talk quickly.
I'm available to do both if you are.
Gotcha. I didn't know what your thoughts were. So, kind of, let's talk about this real quick, sir. I definitely want to get into some NBA, and then we'll talk about some bowl predictions with Slut too, because I know a lot of the more exciting bowls are actually coming up as well too. But real quick, I wanted to kind of give the let's talk a little bit about the Knicks, Carmelo. Let's get some top five teams for the NBA. He's a game time decision, and I guess the question that we wanted to pose were what's wrong with the Knicks in this particular season. And you know, Mike Woodson, I think he's a good coach, just run into kind of a situation, a lot of injuries. And I don't think this team is built correctly, Rob. And I'm almost going to say this as a surprise. I think Carmelo may be part of the problem as opposed to the solution. If you remember the way that they had Jeremy Lin there, he was doing his thing. They were kind of passing the ball, more of a different type of offense. And now it seems this year, totally different team. Obviously, you know, you've had some injuries to Tyson Chandler. Amari Stoudemire has been kind of a down and out. I think it's a chemistry issue, Rob, and I think that, you know, as far as the Knicks, it's just different as far as Carmelo not being able to take that team on his back and kind of carry them the way that they should be. I think he needs more of a Robin, but right now it's just kind of I think it's kind of in Carmelo's hands while this team is struggling, sir.
Well, I think, you know, I think around the league, Carmelo is considered a superstar, and I think he is a star. But I don't think he's the kind of superstar that's going to lead a team to a championship. I think he's the kind of star that needs to have a player that's greater than him in order to get him there. And I think he's a great scorer. He's a great shooter. But there's just so many other elements of the game that he does not have. He's not a great defender. I don't consider him necessarily as a great leader. He's not an explosive athlete either. You know, like I said, he can score the basketball, things of that nature. But you don't see, he's not in that, in my opinion, he's never really been in that elite status, in the LeBron James, Jordan, Kobe status, in that, you know, that realm.
Yep.
And you know, you look at this team, you went and got Amari Stoudemire, Tyson Chandler, and Carmelo, you thought you had your big three there. But obviously, Amari Stoudemire is having injuries problems, so is Tyson Chandler. And so this team is, I mean, they're 9-18. This team is expected to be a top three or four team in the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. And they're 9-18, and the Eastern Conference only have three teams with winning records. And, that's totally unacceptable. For the Knicks with the kind of money that they're spending. And so this has got to be a huge disappointment. And I think the last couple of years, Mike Woodson, my personal opinion, has done a fairly good job coaching his team. And obviously things are starting to fall apart for that team now. So You know, the first thing they look at in New York is the coach. So it's going to be a rough year for Mike Woodson.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be a rough year for him. You hit the nail right on the head once again, talking about Carmelo. You know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, he's kind of similar to Kevin Durant right now in this instance. And bear with me when I'm talking about that. I mean, as far as just a great score. Now, obviously, Kevin Durant needs to work on an all-around game, and maybe that's something he's working for the summer. Definitely the finals allows you to work on things for the future. And I think, like you said, I mean, Kevin Durant is definitely superstar caliber. You know, he's done a good job of leading that team, but he can't do it by himself. And there's certain players that you can't essentially do it all by yourself. I mean, obviously, even Jordan needed a Scottie Pippen, but there's certain people that know their roles. And I agree with you as far as, you know, Carmelo needs somebody greater than himself, because if he just wants to score the ball, then he'll never become that elite status player. I mean, you have to do more. You have to lead the team. You have to be rebounder. You have to be a defensive player. There's so much more to being a superstar than just scoring the basketball. So, you know, that's the downfall. And as you mentioned, unfortunately, until they get that fixed, the Knicks are going to, you know, continue to struggle as a team. So with that, let's kind of talk about our top five teams. I'm going to start it out real quick because I've been letting you start. I think this is my top five, and it's kind of interesting. I'm going to start with Indiana, only because, and we're not looking, I'm looking at that record and also just at the way the teams have played. I mean, I know they split with the Heat, but I think this is a team that they had that incredible start. I think they're a team that's playing extremely well. They're going to give the Heat some trouble definitely in the playoffs too, so let's keep an eye on that team. I actually like Portland at number two. Portland's been playing pretty well. Damian Lillard has just been a superstar. Has been budding under our eyes. You know, playing extremely well. So I like the way that Portland's been for the past couple of weeks. Number three, I've got Miami. You know, obviously they've they just keep playing solid. You know, they've lost the Wayne, but they just keep moving forward with not skipping a beat. Number four, I've got Oklahoma City, and I'm around at number five with the San Antonio Spurs. Just the old faithful keep moving and moving, sir.
Yeah, we have the same five teams in our top five. I have them just slightly different order. I have Indiana number one, of course. Totally agree with you. I think Paul George is one of the top five players in the NBA that nobody's talking about. An incredible athlete, incredible basketball player, both ends of the floor. And he's a superstar in this league. He's just playing in the small market. He doesn't have the big name, but he's got big name game. You know, he's got big game, or however I should say that.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, I have the Portland Trail Blazers, and I think we briefly touched on this last week. They quietly put together a very good big three there in Damian Lillard, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Nick Batum, and got some solid role players to go with them as well. And so this is a team. I don't know if we thought they were going to be this good this fast, but they are playing extremely good basketball right now. And number three, I actually have OKC. I think they're playing extremely well. And based on what I'm seeing, I think they can get back to the finals this year. Even though I have Portland slightly ahead of them out west, I think by season's end, I see OKC back in the NBA Finals. And Kevin Durant, as we were just talking about, gets it done on both ends of the floor. And they're playing tremendous basketball right now. Number four, the old guys in San Antonio just keep competing. They're still right there near the top. For some reason, they never get old. You know, and number five, I have the Miami Heat in the number five slot. Obviously with LeBron James on the team, you can always have a shot, but there's got to be some concerns with Dwayne Wade. He constantly have to take nights off because of the knee issue there. And it's still, Michael Beasley has been a pleasant surprise, but you still got to have some concerns why you're not getting Greg Oden out on the floor, give that team some more size, unless they're saving them for the playoffs.
Yeah, I like it, too. I've got the Clippers and the Hawks on the outside looking in, too, because they've been playing extremely well, too. So I just want to give a lot of love to one of my teams that's actually playing well. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. And I was going to say, you talk about the big three real quick, Rob, if I can piggyback on that. I'm thinking about Carmelo, and I think Carmelo reminds me kind of a Glenn Robinson. And bear with me, too, when I talk about this description, because great score. That's all he did was score the ball, you know. So he needed to have the Sam Cassells and the Ray Allens kind of complete that team. I think that's what the Knicks need. So that's just I'm sorry, I had to bring that back up. So I don't know if you want to say anything else about that, sir. But that was just me, if you will.
Yeah, I think this is cool.
Let's talk about some bold predictions here. Let's go ahead and wrap this up. Another edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Have you had a chance to catch any bowl games these past couple of days, Rob?
Well, the only one I kind of, paid with close attention was, believe it or not, in the New Orleans Bowl with Tulane and Louisiana Lafayette, I guess, with some, local interest, of course, in the game. Well, actually turned out to be a really good football game with Louisiana Lafayette winning 24-21.
I like it. Real quick, I think a game that I actually paid attention to, Rob, was the USC and Fresno State game. And I don't know if you had a chance to kind of watch this, in that there are some moves as far as, Deion Bailey, the safety, has announced he's going to forego his senior year and kind of jump to the 2014 draft. It was a tough game for Derek Carr. He didn't play as well as he probably liked to, but I don't know if you think that kind of affected his stock going into the NFL draft, sir. I don't know if you have any comments about that.
And it's you're referring to Carr from Fresno State?
Yes, the USC, they were able to kind of put a beat down on Fresno State winning 45-20 in the Las Vegas Bowl. Cody Kessler, 344 yards, 4 touchdowns. And I don't know if that had any – obviously it did have something to affect Derek, I don't think he played bad, but I don't know if it's just interesting because it was a tough game for him. And then, obviously, USC has continually put some more players back in the NFL too, sir.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're going to always continue to get talent there at that school. I mean, you're going to get some great football players, and I expect for them to return to the top of the Pac-12 real soon here. And they're quietly putting together a very solid coaching staff going forward. They're really recruiting Ed Orgeron really hard to stay on that coaching staff, who's a tremendous recruiter with some national influence as well. And Steve Sarkisian, I think, will get that ship righted and get them back on track. And they're going to always be able to get talent to come to USC. And first of all, they're in Los Angeles and a hotbed for football recruits. And plus, they can go handpick some players from around the country as well.
Interesting. I just want to say I definitely pointed out that Louisiana Lafayette was going to win that game versus Tulane. I just want to throw that out there.
You did. I don't want to say that, but yeah. You did. So I got to give you credit.
I'm not going to gloat over that, too. A couple of games, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. You had San Diego State whipping up on Buffalo 49-24. East Carolina whipping up Ohio in the Beef O'Brady Bowl with St. Petersburg, Florida there. Honolulu Bowl, or the Hawaii Bowl, that was a fun bowl to go to. Boise State and Oregon State. You had Oregon State kind of pulling that one out. So, it's pretty interesting too, Rob. So that was kind of like some recaps as far as the weekend. And then finally we had the Gideon New Mexico Bowl, Colorado State edging Washington State by 3 points. So that's what's been happening over the past couple weekends. We got some big games coming up soon, obviously, so right after Christmas. Is there anything else you wanted to highlight, sir, before we get ready to wrap up this particular edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know if you got a few minutes. I don't know if you want to go over at least some of the BCS bowl games real quick and cover some of the big ones. I think by the time we have another show, these games will be over. So I figure we probably need to address them just for a couple of minutes. Matter of fact, we can even start with the big one itself, the BCS championship game, Florida State against Auburn. Who you got?
I actually like Florida State in this matchup, only because the fact that this is going to be a great game. This is going to be a great game. I think Florida State has been just annihilating their opponents, and I think that they have the offense to catch up and to match wits with Auburn. So Auburn may try to run the ball, but I just think that Florida State has an offense that can kind of match them too. So I think they'll get a stop, and they'll be able to get a score out